Hey there, I am Bridget Tibaldi, a mother of lots of children, and have brought in nearly seven figures in sales as a two times business founder and owner. I help ambitious Christian businesswomen to understand why safety is actually their number one business and life strategy.
I am so glad that you are here, and I mean that literally. I need you to actually be here, not like in your inbox, not mentally running through your to-do list, like not thinking about what you're making for dinner tonight. Just be here with me. And I know that it's like the hardest thing that I ask you to do today. But if you are anything like the women that I work with, which you are because you're listening to this, sitting still with nothing to produce feels like super physically uncomfortable. And there's a really important reason why that is. Your nervous system has two primary modes, consumption and production. And the woman who has built a business from scratch, who's maybe homeschooling the kids or holding everything together, she has been living in production mode for so long that her body has forgotten how to simply receive. So production mode is more of that masculine energy. And again, it's not good or bad. It's just, it is what it is. We need both of these things. Production mode strives, it creates, it achieves. It's, again, not bad. God designed it and has built everything that you have. But it was never meant to be the only mode that you operate in. Consumption, which is like true receiving, is feminine. This is restful. This is open. This is the mode in which God actually does his best work in you because of the way that we are as women. And it's the mode that is directly connected to your capacity to receive more. And this can be more peace, more presence, more patience, more revenue, whatever it is. And the women that I work with inside Rise discover that they shift from those like 10 to 20K months to like the 40 to 50K months. And it's never a production problem. Like, again, you are that hard worker. You know how to get things done. Like you're already producing at an extraordinary level. People look at you and they're like, how do you do all of this? What you have is a receiving problem. And that starts right here with listening. And I know it's uncomfortable or is bringing up some discomfort. And that's exactly why we're here to work on this. So before we do anything else, again, find some quiet, make yourself do it. I know it's hard. Lay on the floor, do whatever you need to do. And what I want you to do is I want you to put one hand on your heart and one hand on your belly, and not because it's like a cute thing to do, but it actually will really help you, because what it does is the hand on your heart activates your body's own calming response. This is called, it's activating the vagus nerve. And I like to call it like God's built-in reminder that you are a body, not just a brain. And by putting your hand on your belly, that reminds you that your chest should not be moving when you breathe. It should be your belly expanding and contracting. Okay. So take three slow, deep breaths in through the nose. And then out through the mouth, breathing out longer than you breathed in for. Again, in and out. One more in and out. All right. Now that you're here, we're going to move forward. So before we go anywhere, I want to invite the one who actually does this work into this space where we're in, because I want to be super clear with you. I am not a healer. I am just a woman who knows how to do the steps and who have gone through the steps and guided so many women through the steps, but I'm not the healer. That's God. So let's pray. All right. Holy Spirit, we really invite you into this space right now. We just ask that you reveal only what this woman who is listening right now is ready to see, ready to receive. We ask for your protection over everything that comes up. We ask that every lie that has kept her small around money would be brought into your light today. And we thank you that you are already here. You've been here this whole time. Give her the courage to invite you in and to finally accept that you just want to provide and protect for her. Help her to feel that. And Lord, we just love you. Amen. We ask God. All right. So before we go into the meat and potatoes of it, I want to give you a little context because you're the kind of woman who needs to understand why something works before she trusts it. I'm the same way, so I get it. So here's what's actually happening in your nervous system around money. And just in case you're not sure what the nervous system actually is, the nervous system is essentially just the thing that is always scanning your environment to help you stay protected, right? So you probably have heard, or you remember back to like middle or high school when you're like, the lion's chasing you. So that makes your heart rate go up and that makes your muscles work harder and things like that. That's your nervous system working. Okay. And now because we have evolved and we are now in this different space as humans, we likely do not have lions and bears chasing us, hopefully. But now we have all of these other external stimuli. And so one of these big ones that we have nowadays is money, which is why I'm doing this, because this is a huge topic for so many women. Okay. And what's important that you understand is that your subconscious mind runs about 95% of your behavior. 95%. That's a huge amount. So that means that the conscious, rational, like goal setting part of your brain, the part that made like the pretty vision board or hired the business coach or like set that monthly revenue target, is only running 5% of the show. So that means that 95% is being run by programs in your mind, in your nervous system, that were written before you were about 7 years old. Okay. And you might be like, Bridget, that doesn't even make sense. I promise you, I'm going to bring up the science so that you can see that it's actually real. So the reason that you can intellectually know that you are worthy of more and still undercharge and overdeliver and talk yourself out of the launch and say that this must not be what God wants for you is not because you lack the strategy. I know that you've invested and that you have many strategies. All strategy works, but it's not working for you. Why? It's because your subconscious is running a program that says that it's not safe. And so here's what I consistently see with women that I work with, the ones who are sitting at those like 10 to 20K months. They are so afraid that they're not going to be able to replicate it. I still remember whenever I had my first 10K month and I was like, how did I do that? How am I going to do that again? And it felt like so impossible. And you're the one who cannot figure out why a 40 to 50K feels like pushing against a wall. And it's, again, it's not a strategy thing. You have the strategy. You are a hard worker. It's a subconscious program that you just haven't learned how to change yet. Okay. So the program that is running your business and life right now lives in a part of your brain called the amygdala. This is like the threat detection center. When it senses danger, it fires off before your rational brain even has a chance to respond. And your amygdala cannot tell the difference between a physical threat and an emotional memory. That's a huge piece of this. So when you go to raise your prices or like be more visible or receive like a pay in full or whatever, your amygdala fires the same alarm it would have if you were actually in like physical danger. Because somewhere in your past, and we'll get to this later, being visible or taking up space or like having more than others felt dangerous. Okay. And then we have your hippocampus. This is your memory center. This has the stored memories. And this, your hippocampus stored the experiences that you've had, not as just a thought, but as a somatic memory. So again, somatic meaning like body. So a body memory. So this is something that lives in your cells. It fires in your nervous system before your brain even knows what's happening. So this is why, again, you keep investing in courses, you keep investing in coaches, you keep trying new strategies, but it's not really working. It's not getting you to that next level. And even the level that you're at feels like, I can't keep going like this forever, right? And this is why it's so, so important that you do this work, right? Okay. And right here, I'm going to bring up Romans 12:2. Not in the renewing of strategy, but looking at the mind, at the root. And that's really what we're going to do because the transformation happens through renewing of the mind. Again, like in Romans 12:2. Okay. So now we're going to actually get into the revealing part of this because I do want to help you see this framework that I teach my clients and how it's so possible for you to do this in everyday life, not just whenever you are on a coaching call with me. Okay. So I want you to take a deep breath, close your eyes if you haven't already, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to take you back to that first memory of that you have around money that felt unsafe, whether it felt like complicated, shameful, whatever. And this could be something that you heard at a dinner table. This could be when you forgot to close the door and your mom or dad said, like, money doesn't grow on trees. We have to make sure you close the door because the air conditioning's on or the heat's on or whatever. Maybe you saw the way that your parents were really stressed whenever bills were being paid. Or, like, again, the money doesn't grow on trees. Or maybe it was watching somebody that you loved, like, worry about how they were going to afford this, or could they take their kids here, or whatever it is. Maybe it was just being told directly or indirectly that wanting more was greedy or ungodly or unbecoming. Whatever it is, just let it come up. And if you're really struggling with, like, I don't even know what the first memory is, that's a huge key, a huge piece of information that you have a lot of work to do. Because if you can't remember, that's actually your brain's way of saying, we haven't felt safe for a really long time, and we haven't coded these memories into our brain. Because again, you're only going to create new memories when you feel safe enough to have your brain process them. If you don't feel safe enough to have your brain process them, it's not going to spend the energy encoding them into your mind. That's why so many women that I work with, they say, I don't remember huge chunks of my childhood. This is exactly why. And again, if you can't remember when you were little, just remember, even if you're 25 years old, like when you went out to eat and you got the bill and you were like, whoa, that's more than I thought. Whatever it is, like, just let it come up. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where to take you. Just stay there for a moment. Just notice, like, how old you are in this memory, what's happening around you, what your body's feeling. And every single woman that I've sat with inside this work has a version of this memory, obviously not the same one that you have. Details are different, but the feeling is almost always the same. And I'm going to get to that in a little bit. And every single one of them thought that they had already dealt with it, right? Again, if you're at those 10 to 20K months, you feel pretty good. But for some reason, you don't feel quite as safe and secure as you know that you should be feeling. You're always waiting for the shoe to drop. Always wondering, am I a good Christian if I have this wealth? So you do the journaling, the therapy, the mindset work. You pray, like you ask, you beg God to show you the way. And yet, here you are. That memory is still in your body. It's still running the show. And we are not, the goal here is not to relive it. The goal here is to show your body that it's safe. It's not mean that you're going to forget the memory. It just means you're going to change the way that your body perceives that memory. Now I want you to, again, while you're still in that memory, identify what that little girl, you, was feeling in the moment. I'm going to name three of the most common wounds that show up around money. And I want you to just notice which one resonates with your body. Again, your body, not your head. So the first one is fear. It's not safe. There's never enough. Something bad is always around the corner. If fear is yours, your nervous system learned that money was a source of threat, not provision. And so every time you get close to more of it, your body starts to brace, you self-sabotage the launch, you discount before anyone even asks, you create that ceiling for yourself because at least a ceiling feels predictable. So that one's fear. Again, there's never enough. Something bad's always happening. Then we have powerlessness. Powerlessness is, I have no control over this. I can't change it. I'm at the mercy of it. If this is yours, your nervous system learned that money happened to you, not through you. And so expansion feels terrifying because somewhere in your body, you still don't believe that you deserve this, that you wait to be chosen instead of choosing yourself, that there's no way that God could want this for you. Other people are so much more in need, like, that why you? Why do you get this? And then the last one that we're going to touch on today is abandonment. And abandonment says,
I'm on my own with this. No one's providing for me. I have to figure this out all by myself. If this is what you're feeling, your nervous system learned that financial safety was something you had to manufacture yourself because nobody else is coming to save you. And so receiving from anyone, from God, from clients, from your husband, from your family, whatever, feels almost impossible to trust. So you over-deliver because you're afraid that if you don't keep earning your place, that support is going to disappear. So again, those big three, there's more of them, but the big three are fear, powerlessness, and abandonment. And you can have a mixture of all of them, but usually there's one that's like, oh, that's me for sure. And then you might have a couple of secondary or tertiary ones. So right now, which one of those fear, powerlessness, or abandonment is living in your body? Again, don't choose it with your brain. Just name it. Now, here's what I need you to know this. That wound, again, whether it be fear, powerlessness, abandonment, and again, there's more of them. These are just the big three that I see with women. That wound made complete sense to that little girl. That little girl was not broken. All that she was doing was she was reading her environment exactly as it presented itself, good or bad, intentional or unintentional. And she drew the most logical conclusion a child could draw from the evidence that she had. And she was just simply wrong about what it meant for her future. So the fact that you're still running her conclusions from, again, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, at whatever age you are now, at whatever 10, 15, 20K months that you are now, in a business you built, in a life that you have chosen, tells us everything we need to know about how deep this root goes. And this is just one wound. Inside Rise, we go through all of these wounds, layer by layer, root by root. Today, we're just starting with this one. And now we want to name the lie that you've been telling yourself. So now we've exposed the wound. Now let's get into the lie. Because every wound carries one. And 1 Timothy 6:10 has been used to keep women like you feeling small for far too long. Right? This says the love of money is the root of all evil. So yes, the love of money, the worship of it, the placing of it before God. That is the root of all evil. It does not say having money is the root of all evil. It does not say that earning money is the root of all evil. It does not say that receiving money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because we have placed that above God. And that's one of the commandments, right? So obviously, it's not going to work out super well for us. But the enemy has taken scripture and twisted it into this weapon against ambitious, faith-filled women who God has put so much on their heart and have called them to holiness. But that lie that we've been told, that it's not okay to be ambitious. It's not okay to want to provide nice things for your family. It's not okay to want to donate massive amounts of money to charity. That lie is costing you. Again, not just financially, it's costing you peace, presence, the fullness of life that God actually intended for you. So right now we're going to name that specific lie. And I'm going to give you just some examples of what are some common ones. And just, again, let your body choose either ones that I say or whatever comes to mind. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So here are some common lies. There will never be enough. I have to fight and strive for everything that I have. Wanting more makes me greedy or ungodly. People will judge me if I charge what I'm worth. I'm not the kind of woman who gets to have that. Receiving feels wrong. I should be the one giving. Why am I worth this when there are so many others who are struggling? So whichever one made you sort of like flinch or was like, oh, I felt that one. Like, that's the lie. One of the lies, at least, that the enemy is telling you and that you are that you're believing. And right now you have the opportunity to say, I'm not going to choose to believe that lie anymore. It's a choice, though. Remember, there's two roads. The road, and this sounds extreme, but it's true. The road to heaven and the road to hell. We get to choose which road we want to be on. But there's only two roads. So if you are not intentionally going towards heaven, you're always going towards hell. And it's such an easy road to get on. It's so easy. So right now, I want you to say this out loud. I renounce the lie. And then put whatever your lie is. That I'm not worthy. That others deserve this more than me. Whatever it is. It was never the truth. And it has no power over me any longer. And declare it. Say it in Jesus' name. Because a lie only has power in the dark. You just brought it to the light. And you said it in Jesus' name. And right away, your body is likely feeling a little bit calmer, a little bit lighter. And that's your nervous system releasing something that has been, that it's been holding on to for a really long time. And what's so cool is that we have barely scratched the surface. Isn't this just so neat? Now we're going to receive the truth. Okay, so this is pivotal. You always have to do this when you identify that lie that the enemy is telling you. You always want to think about the opposite. What is the truth that God is whispering? Remember, the enemy shouts, God whispers. It's so much easier to hear that shout. It's so much harder to hear that little whisper. This is not like positive affirmation or anything like that. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but like everything that we do here is rooted in Christ and like the truth of him, right? We're not trying to like convince ourselves, right? Like this is a living word and we need to receive it in the exact place where our body learned that lie. So wherever you felt that wound, whether it's like that tightness in your chest, whether it's in your stomach, your throat, your shoulders, your back, whatever, I want you to breathe into that place as I speak. Like literally picture that breath going into that space. You've already declared the lie. You're renouncing it in Jesus' name. Now we're going to replace it with a truth that is, again, according to Jesus. So just listen as I speak here. You were provided for then, even when it didn't feel like it, even when the money was tight and the stress was high and the adults around you were afraid, God was still there. When you were a little girl and you did not go, you were not feeling loved or compassionate or cared about, you did not go without what you truly needed. You are provided for now. Philippians 4:19 tells us that God will meet all of our needs according to the riches of his glory. This doesn't mean according to your hustle, not according to your strategy, not according to your timeline, not according to how many hours you've worked this week. According to his riches, and he has everything. The Proverbs 31 woman, she was not small. She considered a field and she bought it. She saw that her trading was profitable. She opened her arms to the poor and extended her hands to the needy because she had enough to give. Her abundance was not a sin. It was her platform. It was what made her impact possible. In John 10:10, he came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Not miserably, not barely, not just enough to get by, but abundantly. And we're not speaking necessarily in terms of material goods, but that abundant joy. And that word in Greek, perissos, means exceeding beyond measure, more than necessary. Again, hear that, more than necessary. That is what God has in mind for you. Not the ceiling that you've been bumping against, not the number that feels safe, but like beyond measure, more than necessary. Because healing these wounds and stepping into that whole person is going to change everything. And again, this is just one small part. We haven't even scratched the surface, really. Because wealth is not your master. It is a tool in the hands of somebody that God trusts. And he trusts you with more than you are currently allowing yourself to receive. So again, I'm going to repeat that. Wealth is a tool in the hands of someone he trusts, and he trusts you. Just think about that for a second. That wealth could mean material wealth in terms of money, in terms of multiple businesses, whatever. It could be children. It could be those adoptive children. There's so many different ways that God shows us that he wants us, he trusts us, he needs us. And so the women that go through this process, again, this is just scratching the surface. It's a little bit of the process, but to go through this process inside of Rise, we go through the full Rewired and Wealthy framework. Again, this was just part of it. And these women tell me that this moment is when something like permanently shifts. And it's, again, not because anything I did, I just walked them through this, but because they finally let the truth be more real than that lie that they've been told all their life. And again, you just got a taste of that. And so I want to tell you something that might be like the most countercultural thing to say. And I know it, like, I didn't believe it for the longest time. But when you actually can like feel this, it's amazing. You are not made to strive for this. You are not made to strive for this world. Obviously, God wants us to be good people, to do good works. But God, when you get to heaven, he's not going to look at you and say, what did you do for me? He's going to say, who did you bring with me? How did you use your talents to bring more souls to me? So I know that this goes against everything that your nervous system has been trained to believe, that the devil has whispered or shouted into your ear for the last however many years that you've been alive. And I know that the woman who has built the 10 to 20K months has done it through effort and discipline and showing up even when she doesn't want to. And I honor that because it's so remarkable what you have built. So remarkable. And you need to give yourself credit. Like, pat yourself on the back. Like, you're back in elementary school. Like, pat yourself on the back. But I also know that in Acts 20:35, it says, more blessed to give than to receive. And the enemy has used that truth to convince you that receiving is somehow less holy than giving. Right? But you cannot give what you have not received. You cannot pour from an empty vessel. You cannot model abundance to your kids, the children that you are intentionally raising at home that you know are gifts from God. You cannot intentionally raise them while running on fear. Right? And like, if you're anything, I know you're like a lot of the women that I work with, every woman that I work with, where they're like, I have this huge desire to give to charity. I can't wait until I can write that $25,000 check and like just have it be a drop in the bucket. And I'm like super excited for that. And that's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. And it's like changing so many lives. But you have to remember that there, without business, there cannot be charity. Because business is transactions. Even if you think about the baker back in the old day, he still had to barter with somebody to get the flour. Even if he wanted to give the bread to the poor, he had to somehow get the ingredients. And he had to get those ingredients from the farmer. And they probably did some sort of like, I'll do this if you do that, right? So we have to get that in our mindset. And your feminine body, the body that God has specifically and intentionally designed and beautifully created, that feminine genius, it was made to receive. We don't even need to get into the etymology of the words woman and feminine and everything. But physiologically, spiritually, energetically, like the woman receives, the masculine strives. And obviously we need the mix of both. But when a woman who was created to receive has spent years in a nervous system of that constant production, that striving, her body will physically, mentally, spiritually pay the price. And her business will hit a ceiling that no amount of strategy can break through. Her motherhood will suffer because she's physically present, but energetically, like, so depleted, so tired, just wants to sit on the couch and watch TV, even though, like, you don't really want to watch TV. You're just so tired, you don't want to do anything else. Her relationship with God becomes transactional because she cannot receive from God either. She has this huge desire to. She wants him. She desires, like, you're praying every single day. You're desiring that he comes into your heart, that he fills your soul. But nothing's happening. And you know that he's right there. But for some reason, there's something stopping you. And that jump from 20 to 40 to 50K months almost always requires less doing and more receiving. It requires less striving and more surrender, less control and more trust. And so right now, repeat after me, I was made to receive. It is safe to be provided for. My ambition is not greed. It's what God has placed in front of me. Money is a tool for his kingdom, and I'm a worthy steward of it. And now we have the last part of the process. And this is the part that so many people miss, especially, Neuroplasticity tells us the brain can form new neural pathways at any age. So your nervous system is not fixed. Thanks be to God. It's not permanent. It's not who you are forever. It's just what you learned. But your body needs repetition and felt experience to rewire it, to relearn essentially. And we don't just need intellectual understanding. Again, we need that somatic body emotional moment. Okay. And so this is what we're going to do now. This is why the Rewired and Wealthy framework is a circle and not a straight line, because this is why the women inside of Rise go through this process across multiple sessions, multiple routes, multiple layers, not just around money, but in everything in life. Because each time they go around the circle, they get deeper and deeper. And each time the rewiring gets stronger. And each time the old pattern gets quieter. And so again, it's usually not this like overnight thing. Obviously it can be, because God is a God of miracles. But more often it's the process. He wants you to move through it, because that's how you're going to get closer to sanctification. So today, you did this once, and we only did like a surface level of it, but you did this for one root, one wound, one lie. Now we're going to anchor it. Okay. So again, take a deep breath and really say, I release the lie, and then repeat whatever lie, if you can remember it. I release the striving. I want to surrender to God. I receive provision. I receive safety. My nervous system is learning a new truth. And I'm safe to receive. I'm safe to be provided for. It's safe to have more. Go ahead and take another deep breath. Just kind of come back into your body. So you just did not just like, you didn't just do a relaxation exercise or a meditation or anything like that. Literally what you just did is you rewired part of your brain. Pretty cool, huh? And you just did that work of on a real root, that real root, that fear, the abandonment, the powerlessness that has been quietly running your relationship with money, with business, receiving capacity. And just like sit with that for a minute. That this is just one root. And this is just one root specifically around money. everybody has so many of these wounds because unfortunately we're fallen people in a fallen world. And so we have these wounds even around everything. And the woman who's ready to move from where she is to those 40 or 50K or plus months, she doesn't just have one root. She has a whole system of them. You have a whole system of these roots. These roots around worthiness, around visibility, around charging what you're worth, around trusting God with the outcome instead of trying to control every single variable, around trusting that even if you don't make a sale this month, then like, he'll provide in some other way. It might not look like a monetary provision, but he's going to take care of you. He loves you. He wanted you. He created you because he wants you on this world, on this planet. He wanted you. You have those roots around receiving support from a team, from even your husband, from God himself. And every single one of those roots, again, thanks be to God, is rewirable. Every single one of those roots can be met with a truth. Every single lie can be renounced. Every single pattern can be changed, not just managed, not coped with. That's the nervous system regulation part. Again, necessary after you heal these roots. Because we need to change the pattern at the root level where it actually lives. Otherwise, we're just putting a Band-Aid on it. And this is what Rewired and Wealthy does. This is what happens inside of Rise, my program for faith-filled entrepreneurial mothers who have already proven that you can build something beautiful for God. You can build something extraordinary. And you are ready to stop. You're ready to stop leaving that next level on the table. You've tried all the strategies and you know you don't need another strategy. You already have the strategy. And today we got to the root of what's keeping you from receiving the harvest that God has prepared for you. And we do this through combined nervous system repair with subconscious belief work, with the truth of scripture, because your healing deserves to be a whole person healing, not just like one piece of it. And what I know about you, because you're still listening, even all this time in, is that something resonated with you at a level that you can't quite explain yet. And you're not at your ceiling because you aren't working hard enough. You're at the ceiling that your nervous system has created because your nervous system hasn't learned that it's safe to go higher. And that is what is about to change. So right now, head on over to Instagram, DM me the word RISE, and I will personally send you everything you need to know about what happens next. Because the woman who was willing to sit down, to close your eyes, to go back to that childhood memory, even with all the chaos that might be happening around you, with all the other responsibilities, because you know that moving your business forward is going to help you to become the best woman that God is calling you to be, not just for your business, but the clients you serve, but also for your family, most importantly, for your family, for your sanctification. You were made for more than you're currently allowing yourself to receive. So it's time to heal the root and to trust the harvest.